you know, because of that, you know, it's not just silent, but it is not going to be nearly as loud as it typically would be for a game during, you know, the snap count. In between plays, however, it actually is very loud. And at times, I think it's actually louder than in the stadium than it would be during the game. Yeah, because the noise coming out of the speakers, it's not comprehensive, and there's nobody in the stadium, so that noise kind of bangs around in the stadium. So it's an interesting dynamic, something that we haven't experienced before. But certainly, you know, when the decibel level's at 70 during the play, it's very manageable.
Thank you.
Yep.
Next up, Bill Landis with The Athletic and Nathan Barrett on deck. Bill?
Hey, Ryan. As you've gone through the preseason here with the pads on and been able to go full contact, have you gotten any – I don't know if clarity is the right word, but any idea of what your plan might be at tailback with Master and Trey? I know there was some talk about a 50-50 split before the pads went on. Did you kind of come out of it thinking the same thing?
I don't know how it's going to shake. I know that we play a lot of plays and, you know, we usually get, you know, north of 70, at least 75, sometimes 80 plays. So we're going to play multiple players. I think, you know, all the running backs have looked very good. They're starting to really run with their pads down over the last week. I think that was a huge emphasis point going into last week. I think they've all done that. And so, you know, we're going to play, you know, some depth there because we need to. You know, there's not one guy there that can play all 70 plays, and that's unrealistic. So, you know, probably had more depth there than we've ever had, which is great because we're going to need them all for the whole season.
And obviously you guys in Nebraska were very much the forefront of the push to get the Big Ten back, and Scott Frost was talking yesterday about how he felt you and him kind of built a little relationship there kind of through that and through the calls with the coaches. Just what do you think of the idea that you guys are playing each other now that the Big Ten is back in the first game? And what is your relationship like with Coach Frost?
Well, Scott coached, you know, for Chip, and he and Chip were very close. And so I got a chance to meet Scott when we coached with Chip at Oregon and then continued our relationship. There's a lot of guys on that staff that I have a lot of respect for that I've worked with. And so, you know, always had a lot of respect for Scott. And yeah, we had a lot of conversations during this time. And, you know, it just, I know that there was times where we never thought we'd be playing this season. Now the fact that we are is great. The fact that we're playing the first game, I mean, we got to play each other at some point. And so, yeah, our guys are looking forward to it, but always had a lot of respect for Scott and certainly do, you know, after spending the last couple of months together over the phone.
Thanks.
Next up, Nathan Baird with Cleveland.com and Austin Ward on deck. Nathan?
Hey, Ryan. Any update you can give on the defensive tackle situation, especially, I guess, if you're expecting that Teron and Haskell are going to be able to play this week, and if not, just what's your level of concern about the depth that you have there?
Well, it's an area that going into the season, you know, we wanted to make sure we you know, provided some depth in that at that position, you know, and I think we've done that. I think, you know, certain guys have stepped up, and so, you know, we'll see as we get to the end of the week, you know, who's available, who isn't, but we still have another padded practice today, and we'll see how today goes and then just keep working through the rest of the week.
And at what point was it obvious to you that Master might be well ahead of his rehab as this offseason went along?
Really, when we got back from the quarantine, you know, he did an unbelievable job during that time, and I was just amazed. I said it to him every day, you know, where he was. And so we expected him to play, maybe not in the first game against Bowling Green, but certainly against Oregon. He was going to be ready to go. And then he's continued to work and work through all the things that that come in the way of you know, recovering from an Achilles. He's done, you know, everything we've asked and then more. So really excited for him that he's going to be able to play a strong season, expecting big things from him. He's practiced really, really well. And so he's a huge part of our offense right now.
Next up, Austin Ward with Letterman Rowe and Brendan Gulick on deck. Austin?
Hey, Ryan, I know the availability report will come out later in the week, but just in dealing with the, you know, daily testing and the protocol and everything for, you know, several weeks now, how would you describe that process and the success or lack of success, I guess, if that's the case, that you guys have had with all that going through camp?
Well, I think we're looking at it now like it's an ongoing process. And, you know, to look at it like it's been a success right now would be premature, because we still have two more months of it. And that's the way we have to look at it. This is not a week to week thing. It's the all the way to the, you know, till January, because, you know, we might be good for 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and then all of a sudden we stub our toe and have an outbreak, and then we're going to lose games. We can't afford to do that. So it's an ongoing deal. This is going to go on for a while, and we have to continue to be vigilant in that area, not get fatigued with, you know, following all the protocols and doing everything we have to do and making all the sacrifices that have been made. And that's for everybody. And that's not easy to do. So it's an emphasis every single day. I made it my vow to the players that I'll make sure I bring it up every single day. We talk about it every single day because it's that important. Now, does that take away from some other things? I don't know. Maybe, but I know that there's nothing more important than having a full, healthy team. And I'm proud of the way, you know, the guys have worked through this time.
When you're talking about that every day and you've made that emphasis, have you sensed at all through this stretch, you know, any eyes rolling or eyes getting tired of hearing about it at this point? Like, how do you, I would feel like that would get old to them or even to you to keep talking about it.
It is. And you know, that's what I say to them. I said, you may get tired of hearing it from me, and you may, you know, not want to hear it every day, but the minute you take a deep breath, the minute I don't bring it up, it takes one day, one trip to a restaurant, one trip to the grocery store where you don't have a mask on, or, you know, somebody you're exposed to, a friend, something like that. And then you're at risk, and then you're not playing for 3 weeks, and then you put the team at risk. So we can't have that mentality. We have to stay alert and stay on it every day.
Thanks, Ryan.
Next up, Brendan Gulick from Sports Illustrated on Buckeyes.com with Patrick Murphy on deck. Brendan?
Hey, Coach. I want to ask you about the quarterback situation at Nebraska. Yesterday, Coach Frost named Adrian Martinez the starter, but said he felt like he's got two starting quarterbacks that could both play and be equally effective. So what's the biggest challenge in trying to prepare for someone who has Martinez's skill set? And equally, what's the challenge of trying to prepare for a quarterback that you don't really have any film on?
We recruited Luke and know him very well. You know, he shares a lot of the same skill set that Adrian has. And so I think, you know, that means that, you know, Luke's really developed over the last couple of years. They've done a great job of developing him. And obviously they feel strongly about him in terms of being able to put him in a game. So a lot of respect for both of those guys. Both of those families know them well, recruited both of them. And they're both really good football players.
And how about from your team's perspective, is there somebody that we just haven't talked about, somebody that hasn't gotten a lot of coverage or a lot of spotlight that has been really impressive to you that for some reason maybe we've overlooked?
You know, I honestly don't know who's gotten a lot of the coverage and who hasn't. We'll kind of see as the season goes on and once we get on the field. But the message I had to the team the last couple of days has just been, you know, this is practice 39, if you can believe it today, 39 practices. Now, there's only been, you know, a very small percentage of those that have pads on, but it's no longer practice and we're playing in a game. So the urgency really has to show up. And I told them, either you're going to look like a champ or look like a chump based on your preparation, because now's the time. And it's not just like, okay, we'll get it the next rep. That's what happens when you practice so much and there's no real consequences for a mistake. Well, now there will be. And then, you know, we better get a better idea what kind of team we have Saturday night.
Thank you.
Next up, Patrick Murphy from 24/7 with Ralph Russo on deck. Patrick?
Ryan, similar to Bill's question earlier about Scott's comments yesterday, he really credited you guys, Dr. Borchers, Gene Smith, with getting this over the line. I'm curious how much you were aware of what Nebraska was doing and how much you feel like they deserve some credit for getting this season going.
Oh, we were always in communication. We had weekly calls with the Big Ten where, you know, the coaches would share what's going on with them. We'd go over different things, and then you know, Scott and I would have, you know, different conversations on the side. And so, yeah, always kind of had a good idea what they were doing. And I think we shared a lot of the, you know, the same views on things. And that, the number one thing was, how do we safely find a way to play this season? And I think a lot of it had to do with the communication that was had between the coaches. And so, you know, I'm proud to say that, you know, because of that, I think that had, you know, something to do with all this. And, you know, but that's behind us right now. I mean, the focus right now is playing on this game. It's here. It's on us finally. And that's really what we're spending our time thinking about.
Well, on that topic, it's not often that you guys start a season against a Big Ten opponent and not have any film, especially a team like Nebraska. How do you guys handle that? Do you watch a lot of last year? What's the approach to this unique kind of situation?
Yeah, going right into a conference game is a unique challenge, but the coordinators and Scott kind of stayed the same. So I'm sure they've changed different things, just like we have. But it's just one of those things where you just do the best you can to adapt in game, and that's why you practice so much that you have contingency plans based on what you have. Because, like I said, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to tackling, blocking, ball security, all the things that matter in a game, and just following the plan to win.
Thank you.
Next up, Ralph Russo from the Associated Press with Tim May on deck. Ralph?
Hey, Ryan. Good to see you. My question sort of plays off of what Austin asked you about the protocols and sort of hammering that message away to your team. It's a little bit of an odd question, but it's a little bit of an odd season. You know, if you had an outbreak before the season, it becomes a little easier to deal with the protocols, right? I mean, you have less players who would need to be tested. Some of those guys, get out of their surveillance pool. Some of those guys are not necessarily able to be contact traced. Have you given any thought to the idea of there's this weird competitive balance issue where you almost would be better off? And I'm not saying you want this, but that a team that had struggled with the protocols, had struggled with the virus, would actually have an advantage going into the season?
Well, certainly not in the Big Ten, because, if you test positive and then you test positive for myocarditis, then now you're out for at least six weeks. So, no, because I know there's been a lot of people that have been in that situation throughout the conference. So no, I don't think so. And then the other thing is after 90 days, you have to go start testing again. And so, who's to say that you wouldn't get it again? And the other part of it is when you're out, it really, hurts your development. When you're sitting quarantined for 10 to 14 days, and you're not doing anything, that's not good for your development as a football player. So while I understand the question, and maybe early on in the spring, that may have been a situation, but I think as we've gotten into the summer, into the fall, staying healthy is obviously the best way to do it.
And if I could just ask one quick follow-up, when you mention guys who are in quarantine or isolation, is there anything you can do with them to keep them, maybe not the isolation because they actually are infected, but the quarantine kids, to keep them somewhat active? Is there any engagement you can do with them to keep them from just sitting on the couch for 14 days?
Yeah, you're talking about if they're contact traced?
Right.
Yeah, so whether they're in isolation or they're in quarantine, we do have a protocol in place that we have certain things that we do and make sure they check in with mental health services that we provide and different things. But for those who are contact traced and actually have not tested positive, they are able to work out and do different things. They're not able to be a part of us, so they have to quarantine. But there is some interaction there that we're able to do just to keep them moving around. Certainly not the same as if you're practicing, but we are able to kind of keep them a little bit in shape the best we can.
Thank you.
Next up, Tim May from the Tim May Podcast with Heather Dinich on deck. Tim? Tim, you're on mute now.
I did unmute. Oh, there we go. Ryan, last year I asked you in preseason about the confidence you had in your defense bouncing back from what had been a tough year in 2018. You were extremely confident, if I remember correctly, that they were going to get the job done, and pretty much they did. What is your sense of this defense now reloading at so many positions, at least with full-time players? What is your sense coming out of preseason camp, so to speak, about how good this defense can be, et cetera?
I think that's the thing that's going to be exciting about, the start of this journey with both sides of the ball and on special teams to see where we're at. But, I watch them day in and day out practice physically. They're very serious about practicing. They communicate well. I like the physicality, the seriousness, the leadership on that side of the ball. And, while we have some guys, like you said, that need to be replaced on that side of the ball, I'm excited to see them play. We'll see once we get into a game. But we've seen some really great things, over the last couple of weeks that we're excited about. And we'll just keep going. But at the end of the day, like you said, you know, younger guys have to step up and replace some of those guys who left.
Hey, give me just an example, maybe a couple of guys that people haven't seen play a lot on that side of the ball defense that have truly caught your eye in the last several weeks that maybe people haven't seen a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we'll see Saturday. We'll see how guys play. You know, there's been so many practices here, and what really matters is how they play on the field. So we'll see, but I'm really impressed with the way the linebackers, just as a whole unit, have just done a great job of communicating, diagnosing plays, seeing things, you know, running to the football. And they're just a very professional group of guys, in my opinion. So I would say right now that's probably the strength of the defense. But both the other groups are working really hard, the D-line and the back end, and those units are getting stronger every day. So fired up to see what this looks like on Saturday.
Thanks, man.
Yep.
Next up, Heather Dinich with ESPN and Dave Biddle on deck. Heather?
Hey, Ryan, as you have watched, I'm guessing, Alabama and Clemson through the first couple weeks here, how confident are you, based on what you've seen from your team, that Ohio State can join them quickly in the national title conversation?
Well, the thing that I talked to the team about 2.5 weeks ago was that there's no conversation about any kind of national championship or championship conversation. It's all about beating Nebraska, because whether we, you know, start focusing on things like that, whether we start talking about things like that, compare ourselves to other teams, all that's going to do is just distract us from playing the game on Saturday. I mean, we got a good opponent coming in here, and if we don't take care of business on Saturday, none of that really is going to matter. So the focus has been so much on our team and not individually, but, you know, being a team and being 1-0. Because with everything going on out there, with different people talking about those things, the easy thing to do is get distracted and start talking about things down there. Well, the teams that, you know, focus on what's going on down the road, they get upset, and it goes sideways fast. So we cannot do that. We have to stay disciplined and just focusing on the first drive on Saturday, then take it with the second drive and go from there and find a way to go 1-0. And then as the season goes on, if we can put a couple wins under our belt, then we can start saying, okay, where is this thing headed? But right now, we've got to find a way to win this first game. And I know it's fun to talk about, but for us, that has to be the focus.
Because you guys are so talented, though, how important was it that not only the players, but also yourself, at least have this opportunity to play for a national title this year, not just the Big Ten title?
Sure. No, that was very, very important. In this whole process, you know, guys come here to play for championships. And so that was a big deal for us. And so I can't tell you how excited our players were when they found out they had that opportunity.
Next up, Dave Biddle with 24/7 Sports and Bill Rabinowitz on deck. Dave.
Hi, Ryan. Who is the number two quarterback for you guys?
Well, it's still something that we're working through. You know, we're very pleased with where Justin is. I think he's had a really good camp. And then, you know, between Gunner, you know, Jack, CJ, all three of those guys are working hard. You know, if we get to a point where one of those guys has to go in the game on Saturday, we'll probably make that decision, you know, probably the night before. But we still have to decide, you know, who's taking the next reps today. You know, we rotate those guys a bunch and, you know, we'll see. It's an ongoing process. And who may be in that situation this week, it might change next week. And the reason for that is because they didn't have spring ball or the preseason. So it's a daily evaluation to see who deserves to go in the game in that spot. But as of right now, that competition continues, and we'll keep going and try to figure it out towards the end of the week.
I know you love your offensive line, and you also have very good depth there. Might you guys rotate a little bit on the offensive line just to keep your starters fresh and to get some of the backups some playing time?
We could. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the week, all we do is we just decide who deserves an opportunity to play. Who do we feel strongly about that we can put in the game? And so we do have some guys in the O-line that could possibly do that. So it's certainly a possibility.
Thank you.
Yep.
Next up, Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch with Dan Hope on deck. Bill?
Hi, Ryan. For so long, you didn't know whether you'd have a season. Now you've got this week is game week. I'm sure all the emotions that you have. Could you just kind of walk through how you are sorting out your emotions right now. Obviously, you're grateful that you're finally having a season, but I'm sure with all the stuff you've had to deal with, there's a lot of trepidation.
Yeah, and I think as we've gotten closer into the game week, I think that's why we've gotten on a routine. We've really kind of kicked into what it would be like game one, even though the weather's a little different than it would be, you know, at the end of August or first week of September. It's time to play now. And so, you know, that's been the focus. It really hasn't been about anything else. And it's kind of a little bit getting back to normal in terms of all the things that come into play and checking off all the boxes so that we're ready to go when we play, making sure that all the situations are covered and making sure guys are prepared to go. We got, you know, the scout teams that need to give us a great look and make sure that we're getting the reps we need to give the offense, defense, and special teams the stuff that Nebraska is going to give us. So it's all those things that are the focus now. And you just stay so busy now, you get focused and, you know, locked into your work where, you know, before we had so much free time on our hands, you know, we were focusing on other things. So kind of back to work this week, which feels good.
In terms of your secondary, obviously you have to replace three starters. How do you feel about that unit right now?
I mean, very impressed the last couple weeks, the way things have gone. I think that, you know, the good news with Sean and Seven back there that they've, you know, they have experience. Cam Brown has experience, you know, and then, you know, Proc and Marcus Williamson, you know, they all are going to have to really prove themselves. You know, they don't have as much experience, but because they're practicing every day, they're getting better every day. And, you know, listen, there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be whatever, but I think that they're trending in the right direction. I think they're going to have a strong year, and I think Kerry's doing a really good job with them.
Sure. Thanks, Ryan.
Next up, Dan Holt with 11 Warriors and Dennis Dodd on deck. Dan?
Hey, Ryan, does it help going into a season knowing that the freshmen don't have to worry about eligibility this year and that you don't have to worry about redshirting those guys?
Yeah, that's good. It's one less thing to worry about for sure. And it's easy to kind of get them on the travel squad and get them in there thinking that maybe they'll play one or two plays, but you don't have to worry about that. So, yeah, it's definitely one less thing to worry about.
I know you've talked so much about just the need to have this depth from, you know, the front of your roster to the back. Just where do you feel going into the season right now that you are in terms of a depth standpoint across the board?
Feel decent, but want to play. I feel like it's so long since we've played a game. It's sometimes you don't know. You're just trying to figure out what kind of team you have. And so sometimes you practice against each other and you have a certain opinion of guys or sides of the ball or, you know, schemes that you have. And then, you know, you're right on. There's other times where you're not. And so I don't really know the answer to that. I do feel decent right now, but we'll know more after Saturday.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yep.
Next up, Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com and Rob Aller on deck. Dennis?
Hey, Ryan. Nice to see you again. You addressed it a little bit, but what level of concern do you have knowing what we all know through football to this point that the Big Ten or anybody can get through this season 9 straight weeks without a bye and without an interruption?
I don't know. I know that the testing that's put in place here has been excellent and really efficient. And so I know that really helps. And I think that the protocols that were put into place are strong and our guys get it here. You know, I can't really speak to the other schools because, you know, I'm just not there. But I feel strongly that our guys are serious about this. And maybe part of it was that it was taken away and they realized the consequence for testing positive. And so making great decisions, making great sacrifices. And we don't know what's going to come. So I can't tell you what it is, but I'm going to do everything we can to make sure we're holding up our end of the bargain.
And kind of a simple question. Can you describe why there's been such, you know, a good continuation from Urban to you, to recruiting, to winning, to everything? You know, if anything, there hasn't been a hiccup.
Well, I mean, I think that the great thing was that I had, you know, really learned a lot from Urban here and, you know, kept so many things in place. Certainly we did change some things and reframe some things, but we kept a lot of the structure the same. And, you know, I think that because of that, it was fairly seamless. I do think maybe the first couple games a couple years ago that I was able to, you know, work through training camp and the first couple of games with the guys, there was some confidence and credibility that was built there with some of the some of the guys on the team. And because of that, there was confidence. And then, you know, you just got to do the best you can to love your players. And that's what our coaching staff does. And I think that they thrive off of that and they believe in what we're doing. And I think we're recruiting really good people and really good families. I think when you look at the type of people and the character that we're recruiting, I think that's the lifeblood of this thing. That combined with the infrastructure that's here at Ohio State with Gene Smith on down and you know, Mick Moradi, Mark Pantone, Ryan Stamper, you know, so many of the mainstays that have been here, you know, this, the greater part of the last decade, I think that all matters. So I think when you mix all those things together, that's what you got, but we got to keep it going. And certainly the expectations are really high every year and we have to embrace that, which we do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Folks, we're starting to run out of time. We'll try to get a few more in. Next up, Rob Aller from the Columbus Dispatch with Tony Gerdman on deck. Rob.
Hey, Ryan. It's been a bizarre 8 months. Everybody deals with it a little differently. What have you found personally has been the toughest thing for you during this time?
Most recently, it's just not being around my family as much. That's probably the hardest thing. And then two, is probably just the lack of routine of not knowing what's coming next in a world where we're so used to knowing what's coming next from a day-to-day basis. And in our world specifically, you know, in football, it's season, it's spring, it's recruiting, it's preseason, it's summer vacation. And then we have, you know, work weeks, and it just changed so much for us. And there just hasn't been a routine. And so I think those are the biggest challenges, you know, probably just looking back.
And taking you back a few years to your teen formative years, what was Nebraska football to you? I assume that was right in the wheelhouse of when they were really good. And just your thoughts on Nebraska football growing up and now.
Yeah, no, I remember it really well, watching them play for national championships and being a powerhouse and, you know, one of the greatest traditions in all of college football. And so nothing but respect. A lot of great players have come before, and certainly Scott was one of them.
Guys, I'm going to ask that we just keep our questions to one because we've got a few more people that I want to try to get on. So next question up will be for Tony Gerdman with Buckeye Scoop and Stephen Means on deck. Tony?
Hey, Ryan, you mentioned the linebackers. I'm wondering how you feel the transition for Baron Browning has gone. What have you seen from him, and what does he give you there at the Sam?
Well, he gives us experience, which matters, especially going into a conference game, first game of the year. But he also brings a lot of versatility to the table. He's got great speed, he can really run the ball well. He's strong. He's powerful. So I think all of those things combined.
Next up, Stephen Means with Cleveland.com and Mitch Stacy on deck. Stephen?
Hey, Ryan, I know you returned Josh Myers and Wyatt Davis on the interior, but it just looks like Harry Miller is going to be that other guy on the interior. Just talk about, you know, his progression over the last 2 years.
Yeah, Harry's done a really good job, right from the jump. He came in at center. He's now playing guard. And, you know, I think both of those positions, he's done a good job. He's learned the calls. He's, you know, one of the hardest things to do is come in as a young freshman to play center. But it really helps because you understand the protections, you understand the calls and the run game. And so he did that last year, and then he got stronger and did a great job in the offseason of changing his body, getting stronger. And then the last, you know, couple months has done a good job of stepping in there and making sure that, his game is where it needs to be in terms of, playing for a Big Ten championship. So it's still, you know, everybody's still in a work in progress. We're still getting there, but he's done some really good things over the last calendar year.
Next up, Mitch Stacy with the Associated Press and Joey Kaufman on deck. Mitch?
Hi, Ron. You lost your non-conference games. You're charging right into the Big Ten conference play. What do you expect the level of play is going to be in the beginning?
Well, my expectation is that the level of play is strong. That's why we've been practicing. And, you know, that's been the emphasis, to make sure that we're taking care of all the things that, you know, the penalties, and, you know, it's got to be a clean game. And that's what it's going to be. We start talking about, you know, scoring X number of points or, you know, holding to a shutout. We can't do that. Big plays will come, and we're going to keep growing it as the season goes on. But to win one game, you got to take care of the football, and you got to tackle really, really well and play good defense. We got to do a good job in the red zone. on both sides of the ball, and then we got to play really well on special teams. So that's really all the focus has been, you know, trying not to get ahead of ourselves.
Next up, Joey Kaufman with the Columbus Dispatch, and our final questioner today will be Steve Hellwagon. Joey?
Ryan, how different will the pregame be for you guys without staying at the Blackwell and some of the meetings being moved to the Woody? How do you envision that being different this year, and does it affect what you guys do before the game?
Well, I think it'll actually benefit us in certain areas because we have everything we need right here. And so instead of taking all of our stuff over to the Blackwell, we have all of everything we need here with sports science. We have our cryogenic tanks, the recovery, the float tanks, the cold tubs, the hot tubs, the bikes, the Normatec boots, the training room. We have the indoor for walkthroughs. You know, we have the dining facility to eat. We can spread out a little bit more here. So I think, you know, the utilization of the Woody Friday night and before the game, as we'll kind of get ready here a little bit and then head over on the bus. There's certain aspects that will actually be more efficient.
And final questions today come from Steve Hellwagon with 24/7. Steve?
Yeah, Coach, only thing I have is just about right tackle. It sounds like Stephen Means covered the other spot. Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, Paris Johnson, DeJuan Jones, how do those guys shake out? And are you expecting one of them to be the opener at that position?
I mean, all three of them are going to play one way or another. You know, I think right now Nick, you know, is going to be the starter at right tackle. He's done a really good job. He's worked really hard in the off season, and so, you know, we'll kind of see as the season goes on and where it goes. But I'm very impressed with what he's done. Again, turns, you know, putting on weight, changing his body, and then the way he's practiced over the last couple of weeks.
Thank you, Coach, for joining us. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Have a great day.